Charlie XCX, that is Apple right here on 2FM, and it's very fitting. Because it is the end of another year, and if you'd asked me last January what would have been a big pop culture moment of this year, of course I wouldn't have had a clue, because they are so unpredictable. But with 2024 coming to a close, all those things have come to pass, and joining me now to remind us what got us talking across the last 12 months is journalist and culture vulture Amy O'Connor. Amy, thank you so much for coming in today.
You're so welcome.
I mean, nothing excites me more.
Yeah, I mean, the pop culture was, it was culturing this year.
It really was. Yeah. Like, it gave us so much. Let's get straight into it. Mm-hmm. And we did just play Charlie XCX Apple, so naturally we're going to talk about Brat Summer.
Brat Summer. It was one of the moments of the year. And I think, I don't know, were you a big fan of Charlie XCX?
Yeah, huge. Before? Yeah. Like, and I kept forgetting that she wasn't as mainstream as I thought.
This is the thing. I mean, I'm a diehard Charlie XCX fan. I've seen her loads of times, but this year, like, she fully went mainstream. She released Brat back in June. She kickstarted Brat Summer, and then suddenly, like, everyone, including my mum, was like, oh, who's Charlie XCX? What's Brat? You know?
Who's he?
No, exactly. But it was one of those things that really had proper cut through. Yeah. So you had, like, Kamala Harris obviously incorporated it into her campaign.
This is wild.
Michael Keely Ray did the Apple Dance on TikTok. Obviously, you just played that song there. And then Brat Green, that was like one of the colours of the year. The Collins Dictionary, they said Brat was the word of the year. It was just one of those things that you can never have predicted or anticipated, but it just had proper cut through.
Like, took off, and exactly like you said, Brat Green. Like, everything turned just green and got away with it too. It was absolutely excellent. We could obviously stay talking about Brat Summer forever and ever, and I think that there will be another revival of it. I think my favourite part, and what goes to prove that Charlie XCX is the icon that she is the fact that she ended it. You know, she was like, Brat's dead.
Yeah.
Like, but move on. But it wasn't.
But it wasn't dead. She released all the remixes and it's coming back next summer. She's coming to Malahide Castle. We're having Brat Summer Encore.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah. Like, I've bought a singular ticket because it's, because it's one of those things that I was like, I just don't care. Like, everybody is going to be having a good time, and I know that my friends will, get there at some point.
Yeah. It's true.
It's Bob. Yeah. Next one, we're bringing it home, CMAT.
CMAT. We love CMAT.
We love her.
She's a total ledge bag. She had another unbelievable year. She was nominated for a Brit Award for Best International Artist alongside Kylie Minogue, which is like so impressive. And she was also nominated for the Mercury Music Prize, which is obviously one of the most prestigious music awards in the UK and Ireland. But I think her most iconic moment for me was when she wore that backless dress to the Brit Awards that showed off a little bit of her bum,
But this is the caption.
Her caption on Instagram is so genius. She said, I told you I was good crack.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's just so cultural, because we're all like, ha, take that.
Yeah.
We know what she's going on about. But it's enough of a stir. I just need to play this for everybody just... just absolutely love it. When she wore the dress that went right down to her arse crack, and like, she looked amazing. She did like come out, because there was a stir about it online.
There was a total stir. I mean, some of the British tabloids, and I think ITV even blurred like her crack and stuff. But there was a stir, and people weren't kind of, there was just a bit of a backlash. And I think she kind of correctly pointed out that there was probably a little bit of a double standard going on, because she's definitely not the first pop star or celebrity to kind of show off her bod on the red carpet. But she said, she thought it caused a stir because basically she's a size 14, she's not a size 6, and you don't usually see that kind of body on television. I thought that was actually like totally dead on.
I mean, she was totally right, because we have no issue with the Victoria's Secret fashion show. We have no issue with see-through dresses that we see on the record ever. Yeah. So why should it be any different for her?
Why should it be any different? I loved it. I just thought you don't see enough, pardon the pun, you don't see enough that kind of crack on the record. You know what I mean? Like, just someone being cheeky, someone being fun. It was so amazing.
So many innuendos in there. It's fantastic. Yeah. Let's move on to Kenny Murphy. We're staying home. His Oscar speech. I'm actually just going to play it to start it off.
I'm a very proud Irish man standing here tonight, so... We made a film about the man who created the atomic bomb, and for better or for worse, we're all living in Oppenheimer's world, so I would really like to dedicate this to the peacemakers everywhere.
My favourite thing is, you know, when we send Irish people off farting, we're so proud of them when they open up something by saying that they're Irish.
Oh, completely, completely. I mean, it's kind of mandatory at this point, but I also loved that he threw in the coup de fuck as well. Because I always, you know, like, do you ever fantasise about giving one of those speeches? And I'm always like, yeah, I'd definitely say Grimiel Mogwai.
You'd have to say something just to throw the angst off a little bit.
But it was so amazing for Cillian Murphy. He was the first Irish-born actor to win Best Actor at the Oscars. He kind of swept the whole season. And I think it was just a really nice cap on, like, he's had an amazing career, but it felt like this was the year that he got the recognition that he kind of deserved.
And then to make it even better, his family just kept him, as all Irish families do, like, kept you humble.
Kept him grounded. So I think his dad gave an interview with, I think it was Raja Gaeltachta, after he got the Oscar nomination. And, like, obviously his family are super proud, but his dad was like, you know, we're not going to lose our heads about it. And neither is he. Like, we don't want to make a fuss. He's got a job like other people's sons and daughters, and that's it. And I was like, wow, like, you can get an Oscar nomination and your parents would be like, now don't be getting notions, you know. It's just so, like, classic Irish dad.
But he makes a good point as well. It was like, you know, let's celebrate everybody's sons and daughters and what they're doing.
Let's celebrate Cillian.
Inside he's going, yeah, mine's got an Oscar. But it's like Irish moms and dads, grannies, granddads, the works, they will, like, they'll never let you have an inch.
Absolutely not.
We take a while. No, we don't know what to do with it. I think something was wrong. We are going to go international for a second. We actually did an entire segment on this to try and break it down because it was so convoluted, but we're talking Drake and Kendrick.
Yeah, I mean, it is actually, you need an hour to break the whole thing down. It's so intricate, but, like, yeah, they obviously brought back hip hop feuds this year. I feel like it had been a while since we had a good hip hop
feud. A good one, yeah.
But I mean, it came back with a bang this year. So the kind of really abridged version is that Drake recorded a song with J. Cole last year. Yep. In that song, J. Cole said, me, Drake, and Kendrick, we're the big three. Kendrick was like, not having any of that. He releases the song this year saying, there's no big three. There's only the big me.
Stunning.
Stunning. Stunning. But this precipitates this massive back and forth. Like, there was no love lost between Drake and Kendrick anyway. But suddenly they're dropping diss tracks every day of the week. And it kind of, like, you know, it was getting nasty, personalized. Yeah. Obviously, Drake accused Kendrick, I think, of cheating on his wife. And Kendrick said Drake's a deadbeat dad and he's hiding more kids. I mean, it was real below the belt stuff. But it all came to a head then when Kendrick released Not Like Us. And actually he said that Drake was a paedophile, which obviously Drake strenuously denies. Yeah. But the problem for Drake is that that song is one of the biggest bangers of the year. So he was not able to escape it.
It's not going anywhere. No. My favourite part of this whole thing is that J. Cole started it and he just stepped out.
Just peaced out.
Because I'm just going to drop this bomb and see you later. Yeah. Bambi Thug, Eurovision. Eurovision had, I mean, one of the biggest viewerships, I think, this year on the telly.
Like, yeah, I mean, it got 666,000, which, make of that what you will, the significance of the number. But yeah, it was huge this year.
Let's have a little clip from Bambi Thug at the Eurovision. I mean, I know one of my friends that actually managed to get to the Eurovision didn't actually get to the Eurovision, but got to the rehearsals during the day and said that during this, the flames that were coming up were nearly taking his eyebrows off.
It was so cool to see, though, right? Because I think, obviously, Ireland had had a pretty tricky couple of years at the Eurovision, but this was like one of the performances of the night. And I thought it was just so cool to see someone like Bambi Thug, who is like just being their authentic self, doing something so bold, so original, so unique, and it really resonated with people all over Europe. I mean, we finished sixth. Like, that's so phenomenal.
Yeah, it's the greatest we've done in years. Yeah. But also on top of that, because I know obviously, like, there was uproar and people were like, what is it? But I was like, they played the game very well because not only were they completely themselves, they looked at what Eurovision is now and what they're producing on all the other stages in all the rest of the countries. And it was like, well, we need to match that. So how are we going to match that? And it's by bringing something so original that was Doomsday Blue.
A total spectacle. The song itself is so, like, it's so original. And if you heard it in isolation, you wouldn't be like, this is such a Eurovision song. Because it's like, you know, it's gothic pop, it's jazz, it's metal, you know, it's all these things. But I think because it was so authentic, that is why it connected with people. And I mean, like, Bambi Thug has been touring Europe kind of since then, like they've been playing in Amsterdam, Paris, Helsinki, so they've really been able to capitalise on that moment.
Yeah, and I hope that they stay going. Yeah. Can't wait to see what 2025 brings for Bambi Tug. Let's stick with the Irish. You couldn't go through this year without talking about the man, the myth, the legend, Paul Mescal.
No, we got to give it up for Paul Mescal. It kind of sounds obvious to say like he had a good year, because he's kind of had a good year every year since 2020, but it feels this is the year where he's actually like, oh, he's a movie star now. So the year started obviously with All of Us Strangers, which is like a really beautiful film he made with Andrew Scott. He was nominated for a BAFTA, but he ended the year as the lead in Gladiator 2.
Like, I'm sorry, right? I obviously went to see Gladiator 2 like the rest of the world, but I could not stop turning to Brian, my other half, and just going, Denzel Washington is his support act.
Exactly. This guy from Kildare is leading Denzel Washington.
He has shifted someone behind the local like club. You know what
totally,
I mean? It's like,
exactly.
Like we all know him. Like,
yeah,
he is one of us.
He's one of us.
And he is on that screen playing the lead role in one of the biggest movies in the world. Like, it's just phenomenal.
But not only that, like even outside of all the movies and stuff, like I just feel like he's been everywhere. Yeah. Like he hosted SNL, he was on Hot Ones, he was on Chicken Shop Date. Yeah. You know, there was the lookalike competition. Like, it's proper, like he's in a league with, you know, your Timothée Chalamet's, Austin Butler's and stuff now. He's a proper movie star, and he's one of us.
I know, it's hilarious because I listen to some Australian podcasts and they're always talking about him, and it's like his Irish charm and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, this is hilarious.
I know.
Like, it's so hilarious.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what his parents think. Are they on the Cillian Murphy buzz?
Are they
things?
Good question, yeah. Actually.
I think someone, if they managed to interview parents, Rousey don't go to now if you're at that. Ask them now. Are you really proud of Gladiator? Okay, we're talking so far obviously about very successful years and things that have made an impact for all the right reasons. Let's talk about Katy Perry.
Katy Perry, kind of unfortunately probably the pop flop of the year, right?
Yeah.
Like, so she released her first single in 3 years this year, A Woman's World, but the kitty cats did not come out to support it. It just flopped so badly. And I think it was just such a generic, bland song. She was kind of trying to capitalize on that feminist moment, but it felt like 10 years too late.
Thank you. It was like, what are we doing?
What are we doing? It's 2024. Like, we're all in agreement. Like,
but you can't come out with a song like Woman's World in the same year that you've got Brat Summer, that you have got Chapel Roan coming out with banger after banger after banger. The movement of Sabrina Carpenter. It's
100%.
Like, that's where you're trying to match. You're not above them anymore.
Exactly that. Like, there has been a real changing of the guard anyway in pop, but I think if you're someone like Katy Perry, who's been around a long time now, it's like 16, 17 years.
And has given us some classics and some absolute belters.
Come here. Like, she has such an unbelievable back catalogue, but I just think if you're going to try sustain that career, you have to do something fresh, you have to do something original, work with some cool new producers, but this wasn't that. And I mean, it didn't even chart in the top 40 in the UK. I think it charted at number 63 in the States. Like, it was an pure unadulterated flop.
It was one of those ones as well that, like, you were listening to the lyrics going, what? And then she's like, no, it's satire. And I was like,
that was sad.
You didn't get it. You should have had an Irish person writing your sarcasm because it's probably an English person who couldn't get it. No offense.
Yeah.
English people know we're on this side. Let's move to, again, another kind of disaster story. It was All of Our Worlds kind of crashing down. It should have stayed 20 years ago. Bennifer.
Yeah, they were trying to kind of, it was like they were trying to relive the early noughties all over again. And listen, I was on board. Like, when they got back together, I was like, oh my God, it's meant to be. But, you know,
alas.
2 years later, alas, exactly. So it was kind of funny because this year, like, J-Lo released so much stuff about the relationship. Like, she released that film, This Is Me Now, A Love Story.
Weren't these all self-produced?
Bonkers. All self-produced.
Bonkers
as well. And she released The Greatest Love Story Never Told, which is a documentary about it. It was just like, it was so much, and people were kind of starting to turn on her anyway with that because it was just like getting a bit ick. But then in August she filed for divorce on her second wedding anniversary.
So sad. But also I do have to say that I enjoy when in pop culture moments they give us significant dates like this.
Yes.
Like filing on your wedding anniversary, like we'll never forget it.
No.
And we'll be talking about it forevermore.
Exactly.
One of the biggest things to happen in like ever, Wicked. Wicked.
It was always going to be huge. Obviously, it's one of the biggest musicals of the last, 20 years, probably. So it was always going to be a moment. Fans were hyped. We saw that at the screenings. Like, people are singing along. They're taking photos. But I think the film has actually been overshadowed by the press tour, which was one of the most insane things I feel like I've ever witnessed.
I haven't watched the film yet because it's 3 hours. So I'm watching it in
and
the...
And it feels it. And it feels it.
You were the first person that I've talked to who has said this. Everybody else is like, it's the best
I'm a fan
thing.
Of Wicked as well. Like, I love the musical, but me and my friends were like, when is this over?
3 hours is a long time. I'm waiting for the Limbo Land in between Christmas and New Year's where I have 3 hours to spare to go and watch it. And I want to go and see it. But press tour... Outrageous.
The press tour absolutely still outrageous. Going. I mean, it's still going. They're on the verge of tears for the whole thing. So earnest. Just mad. But you know what? It got me into the cinema on opening weekend. So it kind of worked, right?
Producer Caroline, I held space. I did an online shop when I was in the cinema. Let's end this on a high note. The world is gone country. I did mention her earlier on, but Chapel Roan. That is Chapel Roan on SNL with The Giver.
I love that song so much. I wish it was out on streaming. But I know. Hopefully it's coming soon, I guess. But yeah, this is the year that everyone went a little bit country. I think country's been having a bit of a resurgence for a while anyway.
You know, it definitely has, but now it just, it went, like Charlie XCX, it just went mainstream.
It just went mainstream. Everything from like the aesthetics of it, like I feel like everyone's wearing cowboy boots and hats and stuff.
Other Irish people were doing that to gigs forever anyway.
No, forever, exactly. We invented it. But yeah, this year, obviously the most notable example of someone going country was Beyonce. Yeah. She released Cowboy Carter, which was, she kind of dabbled in country before, but this was her first full length album. And she had Dolly Parton on it, Willie Nelson.
Miley Cyrus,
exactly. Not my favourite album of hers, but it was really interesting kind of departure for her. But she wasn't the only one. Post Malone released an album.
Sorry, that still lives rent free in my head. I had some help. I love it.
I was actually listening to it this week just when I was doing the prep, and I was like, this is actually pretty good.
Such a banger. Like, him and Morgan Wallen together was amazing. And also, I'm like, everybody's booking flights to Nashville now because it's like, oh, I'm into
this. It's such a thing, right? And next year then Lana Del Rey is releasing Lasso, which is going to be a country album. So, I mean, her gig in the Aviva next year. I mean, we're talking
outrageous.
Stetson Central, right?
Cannot wait. Yeah. Amy, I would keep you here all day gladly. I cannot tell you how much, I mean, you can see it radiating off me. I enjoyed every single second.
She's beaming.
Thank you so much for coming in today. Have a great Christmas.
You too.
And hopefully we see you again in 2025. And hopefully this time next year as well for a nice wrap up of the year. That was journalist Amy O'Connor. We'll be right back after this. 2FM.